Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. This show this evening is part 2 of the Robert and Antoinette Majors interview on attachments. At the point that we left Part 1, I was just in the middle of asking Lane, deceased apparition, who passed away in the World Trade Center explosion back in 2001, how exactly he died. And so this interview tonight will finalize with not only just that interview, but other information that Robert and Antoinette would like to share with you, the audience. Finally, as a way to end this segment this evening, I will be jumping in and running the Haunted Report, where in this segment, I will tell you exactly what happened to me as they attempted to remove one or more, they say 16, several attachments from my body, and it just so happens that that experience happened the night before my interview with them. So you want to stay tuned to hear what happened during the Haunted Report. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to get started here, and we're going to finish part one, bringing us into part two, and we're going to continue our interview with Lane, deceased apparition from the World Trade Center. Stay tuned. When I was listening to you on another program, I think the listeners would find your story to be really, really super interesting. Would you explain a little bit about how you came to be, where you were at the point that you passed?
Okay, so World Trade Center, I always got to tell this story. We don't really dwell on the past. Just let me clear that up real quick. We don't normally talk about living life prior, because we're living a really a different life now and under different names as well, right? So, because we don't, when you pass, nothing, the only thing you take with you really is just some love and some, you know, feelings, a little bit of feelings, love feelings, right? Nothing really matters about the past. But real quick, so it was during the World Trade Center. I used to, I think 18 years old, and I had a little crew, and we used to always steal stuff, okay? So I was a thief. I'm a young black man, by the way. We used to steal, run in, and we'd have this little system how we did it, right? So we'd steal anything, pickpocket, wallets, anything we could sell, right? Because we poor in the city, right? So I was always up there pretty high up when all of it happened. It just happened so fast, right? And it was in the morning time, and I was running because, you know, havoc was happening. People were clogging up the stairway, and I was just, you know, skinny, tall guy, right? So I started running, and then there, poof, there it is. There's a dog and a man. He's in a wheelchair.
Was that Shelby?
It could have been Shelby. I'm not really sure. Okay. But it was the... Okay. It was a dog.
Okay.
And a man. And I was trying to get him down the stairwell, and it just, poof, I died. And it was and it just happened, you know. I died with quite a bit of people in the struggle. And then I don't know how long it was later that I heard the voices coming through, almost like, you know, it was a lot of us at Ground Zero, I want to call it. And then I just heard something sounding like it came to a can, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a voice, and it was Robert, of course.
It was our voice. It was my voice.
Yeah.
And that's when we had zeroed in. There was over 1,200 ghosting there. And, you know, when you go before your time, it's not easy to transition. So.
And a lot of us went unaccounted for.
Right. Oh, yeah. So they don't know him, that he died in the World Trade Center.
Well, yeah, they don't
yeah.
know me. No one knew that.
Well, now you do. Now
well, no,
do.
But I'm just saying, there was a lot of us anyway, so that didn't know
we're
not
accounted
for. We're not, I don't know about the list. I just know we didn't get counted.
Well, Mabel didn't get counted, right?
Yeah, she didn't get counted. And
so we have others.
There was a lot of us that died down there that weren't even up in the World Trade Center. So
when you died, Lane, or didn't know that you died, were you surrounded by darkness? Did you see a color? Did someone speak to you and say something? No. Or
no, we was just scared because where we were sitting was in a bunch of concrete, right? And we're just sitting there, and everybody was confused. There was a lot of us, and everybody's like, "What just happened?" it was the same as it would look probably to you, all smoky and dirty, and we're dead, and some people aren't, right? So it was really traumatic because we weren't sure, and we was yelling help, you know, but no one came, so we stayed put. We didn't even see anything for a little bit, and then when it did appear that we were supposed to go, we were too scared. We're not educated enough that you see that. What's that?
Is that
did you see the light?
Wait, yeah. Did you see the light?
We did, but it wasn't like a light like you think, oh, here's a bright light. It was kind of got some color to it. But it was
like a mist, right?
It was like misty, but it's like a misty vortex looking thing, if you want to describe it that way. And so you're just supposed to go in, and no one went. We were just all, what the heck is this? Because it just happened. I mean, it was like I got just snuffed out. But then I was thinking, you know, none of us went in. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and so that's why there were 1,200 there. And they would have been continually ghosting there unless we had opened that porthole.
Yeah, so we was found by Robert and his crew. And then they just moved us a little bit each week.
Yeah, every week. We spent 6 months moving them all.
Yeah, because their technique wasn't that great.
back then it was a little slow, but we're much better now.
Yeah, everything's faster now.
So, Robert, would you say that when people go and visit this site, that most of, because people are still sending me pictures once in a while of some of them that are still hanging about there. Would you say that there's still some hanging about there around that area?
Yeah, they could be from anywhere.
They could be ghosts that are just ghosting ghosts. And they're just hanging out over that area. It doesn't mean that it's somebody from
the actual
World Trade Center. I mean, we, I don't know. I think everybody's accounted for from the
cross.
From the World Trade Center that day.
Right. And we did notice in that 6 months that nobody else was moving ghosts because, or they weren't moving otherwise because we'd have a count every week how many were left and how many were still there.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty accurate, too. So then when I got exalted because of all my bad behavior, and I had to go to an education thing over here. It's like, it's almost like school, right? And so I had to get a little re-education about my behavior. But you know, my behavior was all survival, you know? We didn't have stuff back then. I had no food and stuff. You know, my girl needed her nail and hair. I told you about her.
Yeah.
Man, she's annoying. Anyway, she wanted her hair and nails done all the time. I'm trying to keep a girl, so I'm paying for it, you know. And, we just had to have it.
Somehow.
And the only thing I really missed out of everything is my cat.
Your cat?
He had a pet cat.
Oh, yeah, I had a cat.
So, what was your cat's name?
Don't know.
You don't take the memory with you.
Oh, you don't take the memory of that? Oh.
Yeah, it was a lot of memory you don't even take.
And all the stuff I'm spinning at you right now, it's because Robert tells the story to me every time.
Yeah, because I remind him.
He tells the story all the time to different clients because they want to know who I am. And so he'll tell the story and then I just kind of go with it. But it's not so much a memory, man. It's not so much a memory, but it's more of a, I guess it'd be a feeling, and it's also not even matters anymore. Yeah. I have the greatest life, and I'm living it good.
So what do you miss the most about being on Earth?
I don't.
So would you come back if you had an opportunity? Yep.
He said no.
No?
Absolutely no.
But he's in a good position, you see. A lot of people have to come back because they have to pay back karma. They have lessons to learn yet. You know, it's every experience is different. Like the woman who came in one time and she said, oh, I'm a guide for this woman. Can you help me? She goes, my name is Ruth Ellis. I was the last woman hanged in England in 1955. And I said, well, how are you a guide if you killed somebody? And she goes, well, I had to come back and die two horrible deaths to pay back for that karmically. So now, but now I'm a guide in this. I'm a guide for this woman. She's contemplating suicide. You need to help me by intervening with her.
Where was she at?
Ruth Ellis?
No, who was the suicide?
Oh, she was the woman who was buying a truck from us. Yeah,
really?
I was selling the truck. Yeah.
Was I there around then? I don't think I was there around then.
Yeah, BL, before Lane.
Thanks, man. So, yeah, BL, before Lane. That should be a thing. I think that should be a thing. But anyhow, so any other questions for me? Because I do have a job. So
he takes care of children on the other side when they pass.
And what I'll do is I'm going to come back to do your removal after all this over, okay?
All right. Well, I thank you for your time, and very interesting talking to you, Lane.
Well, yeah, I'm interesting. I'm just as interesting as you and Anthony and Rob, you know? So I do a lot of work. So, okay.
Thank you. And I won't ask who you like better, Robert or Antoinette.
I'm going to tell you, it's Robert.
Oh.
She's harsh.
Okay. All right, then. Don't tell her I said it either. Oh, she's going to listen to this. Show, you better bleep it. Anyways, all right, then.
All right.
So, have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with her as a joke. All right.
Remember, he's a man coming through a woman's
body. I was just going to say, I would feel the same way.
Yeah.
Well, it's rough sometimes, yeah. You know. And I had her dressing in t-shirts and basketball shorts for a while. We'd show up at the office.
Yeah, if he didn't want to come in and dress.
Yeah. So she had an orange pair of shorts, remember? So I had her buying basketball shorts. Yeah. And tennis shoes and, you know, some good stuff to wear. You know, well, I have her bathing in the Old Spice body wash, too.
Oh, good God.
But it's true. It's a fact.
Yeah, that's too funny.
All right, then. Not all the time, though. I steal her movies, too. So.
Well, I'll talk to you in a little bit there, Lane.
Yeah, you are. It's intense. All right?
All right, talk to you in a little bit.
Okay, I'm back.
So she's back.
So, Antoinette, so yeah. How does that feel when you go into trance like that?
It feels good, because it feels like I slept, say, a good 8 hours. How's that? I'm a little sleepy when I come out.
Yeah.
And when I do removals with Lane, I actually am drained, because sometimes we do 10 removals or 4 or 5, but everyone, I have to wait a little bit before I can drive. And then I actually, will go, you know, go home and go take a nap.
Wow. It's a really a different experience to actually talk to somebody who has passed over, because, you know, that seems to be such a big thing these days. Everybody wants to talk to a relative or a loved one or whatever, and how he came to you, or did you somehow attract him to you? How did he get to you anyway?
Oh, man. Because when we first started, we met Lane isn't just a guide for every child that dies,
right?
Because there's probably a million or more guides, right?
Right.
But we are just with Lane and our little small group of well, not small group, but a good-sized group of spirits. So we have a head one of these guys, and she's named Raja.
Okay.
And she lived about, I don't know, 700
years ago in India.
Like that. She is beautiful, by the way. She's stunning. Anyhow, so she's kind of the lead of these guys that we deal with. She gives them permission, because the Lord gives them permission to be able to even talk to us.
Do what we're doing, yeah.
And do what we're doing. That's why it's so, like, if somebody's telling me, oh, yeah, I had communication, I'm like, uh-huh. So what kind of communication did you have?
Yeah, you never know.
It's just really questionable. Mm-hmm. We can tell somebody who's fake definitely right off the
bat. We'll tell you who's a charlatan and who's not.
Yeah, we have that. And you know what? I mean, just Robert and my experience is just so intense and just great. We just, you know, we just love it now. Before, I didn't love it so much, just to let you know.
She's like, a little nervous.
I was scared because I was thinking I was going to get stuck. One time I did get stuck. And it was like I was up in the air. I could see everybody. I'm like, uh-oh. Mm. I told Bob. I said, yo, I'm up here. And I got stuck out of my body, but it came back. But now I don't. This is just happening in 2009.
Wow.
I think. Or 7. That happened.
Do you find that...
I had a lot of intense...
Do you find that you have to be together to have the strongest energy?
It's a team.
Yeah, because we do have we have other team members as well. But
we have other people we could bring in to help do these, facilitate the same thing.
Yeah,
we have a young woman who's very good in Texas. She had to move there with her family. She's very good at it. But I wouldn't really want to leave any of these people on their own in trance. Because
you cannot.
Yeah, you never know what's out there, and you're a little vulnerable in trance because that's when spirits can come in.
Right.
That's why we tell people don't play with Ouija boards. Don't do things that you're not familiar with unless you're properly guided.
Right.
So, I think we do stuff over the phone. I can just call her and she can go into trance and then we can communicate that way.
Oh, speaking of that, so here's the little story on that one. The phone hung up.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I was stuck and Lane was stuck. So I was stuck over on the other side and Lane was stuck on the phone.
Because, yeah, she dropped the phone or he dropped the phone.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the drop. The call dropped.
Oh, the call dropped.
Right. And so when it was ringing back, Bob was trying to call back, and Lane had the phone, and his vision ain't all that great, and he was trying to answer the phone, but he didn't.
He did it, yeah.
He did it, but it took a while. And then, you know, I kind of don't want to do that kind of stuff, because, well, he would come down, actually, and take me back out of trance, but it was just really funny.
Well, I would find that to be a little bit on the... a little bit on the nervous side, because Bob, I had heard you, and I've been hypnotized a number of times before, and I know how important it is to have somebody bring you out properly. And I just, you know, if you're ever stuck by yourself in a situation like that, I'm not really sure how you can bring yourself out.
I you will come out. You'll come out in 5 to 10 minutes on your own, generally. But we've been doing this so many thousands of trance experiences. I mean, those are just unusual situations that occur. And
fun ones, though. They're funny.
Yeah, after it's all done.
But we're so good at all of it now that it doesn't... We don't really have issues. We don't have any technical issues now at all, actually.
Right.
And we're lucky.
And as a disclaimer, you know, we don't do medical, and we never, because a few people say, oh, I have this sickness, do you think it's an attachment? I can't really tell you any of those things. A lot of times the byproduct is a healing because the attachment is removed. And what was the other disclaimer?
Yeah.
We could take the attachments off, but we can't take the crazy off the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the attachments aren't causing the issue and the person is chemically imbalanced, we do tell them to go get the medical help that they need.
Yes.
And now they're more free to go ahead and heal. So I think when you're attached, you have a lot of problems. A lot of people had health issues and pains. And and when the attachments were gone, they didn't have them anymore.
Well,
all I can say is that they caused a lot of problems.
If for the listeners out there who are listening to this episode, and we're going to give their information on how they can be reached at the end of the show here, just understand that sometimes when people have gifts, and I bring this up periodically, especially when I talk about psychics, for example, they're not the same here, but it's an example of this. Sometimes people have certain gifts on what they can do very specifically, but not always can, for example, a psychic read everybody, or they might have certain quirks. I'm not going to use the word, well, I guess I just did. I used the word quirk. The quirk that I mean is, here's an example. So the UFO psychic woman that had been trying to help me figure out my psychokinesis or my PK or what's happening or the poltergeist in my house, et cetera, et cetera. She reads me best when we actually sit at a restaurant. Now, I know that that might sound, oh, all she wants is a free meal kind of thing. No, no, it's a quirk that she openly admits that, and it's very true. I've had her read me at a restaurant and outside the restaurant. So when Robert and Antoinette here are talking about the types of gifts that they can do to help people with lifting attachments off of their body, soul, within their soul, you know, again, would you say, Robert and Antoinette, that sometimes, you know, a little assistance is needed by the person that you're actually working on?
Well, I don't really think that way. We like them to be in a relaxed state. And as you bring it up, and I'm remembering some things here. Now, remember, this stuff is an epidemic. Hollywood, full of attachments. These people, Beyonce, that poor woman, she is attached
Kanye.
Kanye West. He's got like 90 on him. I mean, Bruce Jenner. He would have never had a sex change if those two women wouldn't have taken him over. I mean, and I try to reach out to all of these people, say, hey, see us first, would you, before you do these things. And once it's not a worm in the brain that causes this. It's actually a consciousness that gets in there and causes all this stuff to happen to people.
And recently, Kanye West has just flipped out now.
Yeah,
I know.
It's been really sad. It's been so sad to watch, and because we know
that
he's attached, Abby, and maybe he does have bipolar disorder. Maybe he doesn't. So we don't know until we would get in there. That's who I was thinking and daydreaming about me driving over there to the ranch and being, you know, and so I really was last night because I felt sorry for him. Yeah. I really did. And hearing sitting with these people like Justin Bieber's not going to help him, you know, and Kim's flying there. I mean, those kind of things are, it's kind of dorky. Anyways, for me, I want to ride, you know, up to the ranch in Wisconsin and, you know, snatch Kanye, give him a removal and see how he does. Yes, because I believe
then the healing can occur.
Well, do you think that sometimes medication has a way of interfering?
Definitely. We're not a big medication people.
Right. I mean, that's how the medical association would like to treat all medical illness, is just give them some drugs and then maybe they'll shut up.
We have the ability, though, to look at serotonin levels.
Yeah, that's probably the strongest right now.
Yeah.
Is low serotonin levels.
And it has a lot to do with your diet.
And then which in turn causes the depression, which causes the opening. So it gets to be a vicious cycle. A lot of times when we do prescriptions for people, it's like, get back to basics. Get back to salads, greens. Get back... blueberries. You want to know what they say on the other side? You want to put off Alzheimer? Blueberries. Mm-hmm. And
blueberries.
Kale.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help put this stuff aside. The medical... I appreciate those guys out there practicing medicine. But...
Yeah.
They're really not making any headway, especially in the mental health. And we're big proponents of this. Go back. Let's go energetic with this.
Back to basics.
Yeah.
So is there a difference between poltergeist activity and the type of attachments or that you're referring to? Are they one of the same?
They're not the same. There's three different types. Okay, so I think the attachment is one, and the poltergeist actually could attach or just stay wild and wreck your house or choke you out or do whatever. They're different even than the ghost, Right. So there's like these three, I think there's three different types.
Yeah. Well, and the poltergeist, what we're finding out is that person had been done wrong.
Yep.
And, I mean, they were murdered or they were just, whatever happened to them, they have a little vengeance wanting to go on, so.
And we've been learning a lot about poltergeist. We ran into two now. So we will be dealing with one coming up.
Yeah, soon we're going to be going. We'll be dealing one, and
we'll blog
personally.
It.
We'll let you know that story.
Yeah.
So do you think that poltergeists can? Here's what a lot of people always kind of refer to. Do you think poltergeists already exist within the energy or their energy within the walls or someplace within the home, especially when someone is remodeling? You know, you hear these things all the time, like something got stirred up or they don't like it or they whatever, and all of a sudden there's activity. For example, when I moved into my home here, I haven't been back to Minnesota for a few years. We just got back from living elsewhere for 25 years. I got locked out of the house, and I know darn well it was impossible to be locked out of the house the way the latch was and all that. And my husband actually tried to come into the garage door, you know, that leads usually into a mud room or a whatever room from the garage. And he couldn't move the door because the poltergeist was actually basically standing there like a brick, not letting him come in. And I was at the time lying down, sleeping in one of the rooms on the main floor in our house. So, and I've had dresser drawers open. I've had drawers that were stuck and couldn't be physically open, but you had to like use a pen or something to try to pick at the lock to bust it up, bring it out, fly open. And I've had all kinds of things happen. It seems to have calmed down a little bit in this house, but it seems like once in a while there's something that likes to make its presence and still hang around. So is that an attachment that was brought in, or do you think that these things can actually exist in the house?
Well, they exist, of course, and they get drawn to you. They probably like you.
Yeah. No, they like me, believe me.
Like a likable person.
Right, and
on a good day.
Right. Now are you close to a cemetery? Are you close to a hospital? Where all of a sudden they congregate. I mean, we were just downtown San Diego at a medical area, and a couple of weeks ago, we moved 61 ghosts out of there. But some of them have been there over 100 years.
Mm-hmm. One of them was.
Yeah, one of them.
She was
so
cool.
So it depends on the areas. We always know if you go to around medical because those people pass and they don't cross. So where you're at, I would kind of like look at what's around me. Indian burial grounds. Oh, We've had incredible stories. This one woman got pushed into her jacuzzi that didn't even have any water in it.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were over there and trying to get those to move, and they told us, nope.
No, we ain't going anywhere. Yeah. This is our burial ground.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so we said, okay.
Interesting.
Could you not push the lady around?
And if she wants to deal with, she has to move.
Yeah, they said you got to move. And they actually came to an agreement that they wouldn't attack her.
Oh,
right?
They said they wouldn't come in the house.
Yeah, wouldn't come in.
But they'll still be in the area.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't come in her home. But
right.
The thing is, we have them on. We actually have them on tape screaming. Remember?
Oh yeah.
That one. That was
moving.
Creepy. Anyways, but and then we also have them on tape. Orbing.
Moving,
orbing all through the house.
People send us all the time. Is this, what is this? What is this?
Yeah, and so then, well, there's not just that, but they, so we don't really try to move the Indians at all.
Yeah.
As they're not.
They were wronged. Yeah, totally they were wronged.
But anyways, go back to the poltergeist. So poltergeists are really, really dangerous because they can actually
hurt you.
So they're 100%. We've ran into a couple poltergeists, but one in particular who slammed a door open.
Yeah.
Like we were having a conversation about how to approach this, and she actually grabbed the door, this heavy screen door, and slammed it open, like, come in.
A security door.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, come on in. And I was like, okay, I don't really want to go in.
Yeah.
But Bob told me, hey, guess what the address is here? And I said, what? He's all 6665.
My God.
I said, no way. So we get there. She had been attacking somebody's girlfriend, throwing stuff around. But anyways.
Closing those drawers and cabinets you're talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
Moving the chair back and forth. But they don't hide in walls and stuff. She was actually floating around the living room and sitting on on the recliner.
Yeah.
So it's not like they hide out. They don't have to. You can't see them.
But a poltergeist, again, 16-year-old girl, 1932, been murdered.
Yeah.
Her name was Celia Cotas, C-O-T-A.
Yeah.
We Googled her, found her.
Yeah, because she even gave up her name. But she even gave up and went to the other side. We moved her. So we feel really, really blessed that we did that for her.
And now she can come back now and start this whole wonderful life again.
Yeah.
Interesting. I find poltergeists to be very, very interesting because it seems like there's not a day that goes by where there's something that is trying to make itself known to me. And yes, on your note before, yes, I can be very likable on the right day. On the wrong day, I can be very hated. But for the most part, I have been told, and this is what goes back to the animals, like especially dogs, this goes back to little children. You know, it's interesting because I don't know if their filters are different or what, but it seems like I attract a lot of different, you know, I don't want, you know, ghosts, animals, whatever, to me all the time, and it's very noticeable. But I thought that this would be interesting. Now, leading this into our final question, which is about attachments. I don't know, because we've been on for a while here, if we even got into this. But do you feel that when we talk about attachments in general, do you think that, now you talked before, Robert, about being in a weakened state. Yes, I fully agree with you 100% on that. But do you think that I'm not even sure if I remember telling you this story of, and I've told my listeners this story, and if I've already brought it up on this show, I apologize because we're doing a nice, good, long one here. But it was basically the day my dad had passed. There was a gentleman in a nursing home with dementia, very bad, slumped over, couldn't lift his head if he tried. My dad passes. My siblings were there. This thing, whatever it was, goes into this man. The man lifts his head up energetically, starts waving at my brother, who's standing by a window or a door. Couldn't figure out if he was waving goodbye to my dad, who was exiting a window or whatever, whatever. But we to this day in my family believe, this is what we believe, that whatever my dad decided to use, a vessel that he could readily get into or attach to, and manipulate for a moment, but then all of a sudden the guy then goes down into a slumped area again. But I feel that, what do you do when you think a relative or a friend may have possible attachments to them? What is the best thing that just the common person could do just generally before they need to contact you?
They can't really do much because they're not of the spirit world, right? So they need to just contact us. I mean, that's all I can think of. There's no way that you could protect yourself from that kind of stuff. It's a lot stronger than the person.
Right. That man was weak. And then he could just jump in there for a second, energize that person, go through the motion. Like I said, attachment could cause you. Every child we ever checked that did those gun shootings were attached. Darkness has its own agenda. But again, back to that, that's a nice farewell. Okay, see ya.
Yeah, and I would have just enjoyed that and embraced it and said, see you later.
And all these years, 23 years, I think maybe two or three relatives have had attached onto family members. Mm-hmm. So it's not common thing.
It's very uncommon.
Right.
So you say it's not uncommon that may happen?
Oh, it's not common.
It's not common that usually happens. What if the attachment has a real, real strong belief in not wanting to die?
Well, then that's why they want to attach.
That's right.
Yeah.
To manipulate. Yeah, we've had some of this go on in our family, and that's why I bring it up. And I know a lot of people out there, you're probably going, yeah, now that I think about it, I think my relative or my uncle is, you know, got an attachment. But what exactly do you do? You can't necessarily go up to the person and go, I think you have an attachment on you, and you need to get it off of you. How on earth, other than coming to you guys, it doesn't sound like it's an easy thing.
It's really not an easy thing. And then if, you know, you can have the chat. You know what we did? Remember the drive-by?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we did.
A woman was so upset with the husband. Yeah. And we normally don't do drive-bys, but we did.
We did a drive-by removal.
Drive-by removal?
Well, yep. We sure did. And then she called and thanked us.
That's her. Hold on. His behavior had totally changed radically back to the person she used to know.
In 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, again, you know, I mean, we could have a line of million people long, but we only have so much that we can do.
Right.
I mean, she only has so much energy while she's in trance.
Right.
And our time here on Earth is dwindling as we're moving 23 years in. Let's see how long we can do this. And again, if I could pass this information off, we have a few people that have the abilities.
Yeah, and if we can find other people that do have real abilities and study with us, and then that way they can actually, it's a developed
talent. Yeah, it's not your gift. Develop that gift from the.
If you have any kind of
and gift. And if any of you out there thinking, well, remember now, these are things. You want to get it's robertafterlife@gmail.com. And if you're interested, if you are attached, send the full name at birth and birth date. A lot of times, I wonder if I am. Well, yes, then I have to email them back, send me the full name at birth and birth date. So those are the ways that we can help.
And I repeat, the name at birth, don't send married names because that won't work.
Right, yeah. And the other thing, there's a lot more stories on the Ghost Remover Chronicles by L. Sims, and that's on Amazon. So if you're really interested in what we're doing and we're the real deal, I mean, some people have a hard time believing some things, but, you know, we're not here to convince you about anything. We're here to help you, help your kids.
Help your pets.
Yeah,
help your pets. And if you can, you can actually email me about your pets. I have an email called thecommunicator54@gmail.com.
Spell that out. Would you spell that out?
Yeah, it's thecommunui.
Communication.
Not communication. Oh. Communicator.
Communicator. Sorry.
The communicator.
I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Yeah. Communicator 54.
54.
@gmail.com. Yeah.
Okay, so let me repeat all of yours again. So if you want to contact both of them or one of them, let's see. The first thing I would do is I would go and look at their website at www.ghostremover.com. Don't put Ghost Mover in there because you're going to go to somebody else's site. That's what happened to me when I first tried it. It's Ghost Remover, GhostRemover.com. I would first start out there because they've got some real interesting stuff on there. Then if you want to contact Robert or Antoinette here, start out with Robert Afterlife gmail.com.
Yep.
So it's one word, robertafterlife@gmail.com. Or if you want to contact Antoinette, you're at thecommunicator54@gmail.com, correct?
The Communicator, yes.
Yeah.
At 54@gmail.com. Now, Robert Afterlife is concerning attachments, ghosts, poltergeists. That's where you would get a hold of us there. The Communicator 54 is for your animals, any animal, actually. And, you know, that's it.
No, I think that's really good. So I want to thank both of you today very much. You guys were champs hanging on here for a good long time. So just know that this will be broken up into two segments. Just know that we very much appreciate everything, including Lane, and everything that you've brought to our attention. Because I do feel that sometimes we get so busy in our life, literally our lives, that we don't have time to think about how we react or how we are or how things are going. Again, I think both of you do a wonderful service for people, and I hope to stay in touch with you as usual. So on that behalf, thank you, Robert.
It's been our pleasure to be on your show, Kelly.
Well,
we loved it.
Times two, because it's going into two shows. So thank you so much, and we'll talk in just a minute here about your thoughts on what is happening with me, and we'll be in touch. Here ends this segment. Now let's move into the Haunted Report.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. Well, that was quite an interview, wasn't it? So for many of you who didn't get a chance to listen to part one, please go back first and listen to part one, because then part two, this segment, will make more sense. First of all, I'm going to give you their information again in case you want to get a hold of either of them. If you want to get a hold of Robert or Antoinette, first of all, what I would do is go and read up on some of the information they have on their website. And that's at www.ghostremover.com. That's ghostremover.com, not Ghost Mover. That's a completely different site, and that has nothing to do with what they do. And on this site, if you scroll down, you're going to see a number of different things. You're going to see some descriptions about the various types of attachments, that from the most mild to the most severe, including those where there's no attachment at all. And I found that section to be real interesting, because I was trying to think about, as I was reading some of their information, you know, where I kind of fell into the loop of things. And I can honestly say there are times when I feel I have nothing on me, and then there's times when I feel I've got everybody on me. That's one thing. And then if you want to contact Robert or Antoinette, I would go, let's see, you'd contact Robert at robertafterlife@gmail.com. And if I recall this correctly, Antoinette said she can be contacted at thecommunicator54@gmail.com. So if you want to have some type of animal reading, or you would contact Antoinette if you want to work with them together to see if there is something, I don't want to use the word bizarre or quirky, but, you know, when people start noticing personality changes, they start to label things. Then I would write Robert, and I would explain your situation and see if they can help you in any what way. One of the things that people are often critical about regarding personality is whether or not this is genetic or something that becomes, developed, I guess is maybe the word that I want to say, over time. For example, if you live in certain conditions, if you've experienced certain things, or anything that could go into the way you think, your personality may become a little bit more open-minded, less narrow-minded, or less focused. on certain opinions, and you're able to be able to look at things from all different angles. I think that sometimes we get hung up here on issues where you may not even realize that sometimes, like right now, things are relatively political going on in our world right now. But you have to be careful about who you're watching and who you're listening to, or at least listen to various programming, radio stations, watch TV stations, etc., to be able to really understand that if you watch them long enough, you will actually know what their political agenda is. It would be nice if people were more neutral. It would be nice if people were more open-minded, but that is not the world we live in. And so from that aspect there, sometimes we get into a situation where we're very honed in on our impressions and our thoughts. And because of that, it can actually take over our lives, all right? So I just want to caution you and throw some thoughts into the fire here that it's nice to have an opinion about something, but where you have an opinion, there's somebody standing next to you that has their own opinion. And these are all based on a number of factors that bring a person into maybe the type of personality that they display either in private or openly. Another thing that when we talk about attachments, how do we really know if something is attached? Well, there are situations where you can pretty much tell. One of the things that I agree with Robert and Antoinette's website is that when we're talking about character change or personality change, it's almost a situation where you knew somebody one way and then all of a sudden they are very, very different compared to what you recognize them being. Another thing that I can definitely bring up here is that when you look into a person's eyes, sometimes, you know, when you look into a person's eyes and you're like, is there anybody home in there? You know, and they're staring right through those eyeballs and you're sitting there going, I don't know if they're even getting the connection. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have an attachment, but it does indicate something. And most people who have clarity, even if they're arguing their point to its end, at least when you look at them in their eyes, you can tell that they have a strong conviction about something versus someone who may, let's say, be possessed or in a trance or taken over differently. They have some kind of that aloof, glazed look in their eyes that just doesn't seem quite there. And I've been there, so I can vouch for it. I've seen this happen with my husband. I've seen situations that I hope I never see situations again. Now, what do you do? Do you all of a sudden go snap out of it, or do you say run, or what do you do? To each their own, I guess. But if you feel like you want to reach out to Robert and Antoinette to get some answers or at least get some clarity on something, I'm sure that they will help you. Now, let me make sure that I indicate I don't know what their fee scale is, so you need to be prepared to look at what they're asking for payment in exchange for their help. But generally, they help a lot of people from the caring of their hearts. So anyway, I'm just throwing it out there so you don't approach them with any expectation, and then they might have to say, well, we have to charge you something, and then all of a sudden you're upset. So just know that, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about what happened with me and what I'm noticing to date. So it's very interesting how I actually came to find these Robert and Antoinette. I was doing a project, of course, I like to listen to some paranormal, radio shows, and I was listening to one, and they were on there giving an interview. And I thought, how timely for someone to actually be on here when I had this haunted handprint show up on my body. I have this handprint that's on my dusty dresser, and it's creepy. And you know, I've been trying to find answers, and I still am looking for answers as we go along here. You know, I had a lady who may be listening to this show right now, and again, I have taken everything in under consideration and under strong consideration regarding the possibility that I could have been at one point abducted by a UFO. Now, this is what she said. Do I believe everything that people say? No, I'm a doctor. I question everything. I have a law background. I question everything. But when it comes to me, myself, and I, and I'm looking for answers, and I've gone through many different theories and people who are involved with the paranormal and in all kinds of ways, I have to be honest, I find input to be very interesting. I analyze it to death, and then I begin to wonder if there's more out there that I need to know before I draw any conclusions. So anyway, I was listening to them on this show, and they brought up the fact that, you know, these attachments can do all kinds of things to a person. And recall, I just had that handprint on my body that lasted 3 hours. And again, there's like over 1,000+ cases of handprints showing up on people's bodies. Now, I would really, really would love to get down to the bottom of that one. It stayed on me for a while, and it showed up, you know, that evening that I smelt this really strong flowery smell, thought it was my husband's shampoo. And the next morning I go in, I look in the mirror, and holy cow, blood red handprint on my chest area. Okay. Very strange, very odd. First thing a person would say is, well, did you have COVID? You know, I mean, I think I've already had COVID. Okay. So I don't know. I can't begin. I do know that the paranormal entities, they're very attracted to me. I know that for fact. And so it wouldn't surprise me if I brought home a few more, because they seem to like to attach and hitch a ride. Okay. And I've had poltergeist experience in my house. So the question is, am I doing that? Or is someone else doing it? And guess what's happening again? The haunted clock started moving again after months of being dead. I've got a couple other clocks in the house right now that, guess what? Batteries drained. They're dying and slowing down as if something is actually taking the energy from these batteries. And I don't know. Things are just sometimes so hard to understand. Okay, so here's what happened. So I contacted them and I explained my situation, sent the haunted handprints, et cetera, et cetera. And Antoinette and Robert said that they would be in touch and that they were looking into, they were making contact with their guides to see if their guides could relay any information to me. Now, of course, Antoinette had told Robert that they were going to attempt to remove my attachments from me. They felt I had about 16 of them or less or whatever. And the night before the interview occurred, my husband told me about this. I sat up in bed during the middle of the night, and my God, I can't even do a sit-up. So my God, you know, congratulations to me. And I started mumbling, and I started then saying like, oh, no, 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 oh, no, that kind of thing. And then I felt myself like fall backwards, and my head hit the pillow, and then my mouth opened up. I know this sounds really crazy. And then out of my mouth came, it was almost like, this may sound disgusting, but like I was vomiting out a big bag of air. I don't know how to describe it any way other than that. But then I also, when my head was on the pillow, I went, and those were like my last two breaths. And I kind of whined a little bit. And then I went back into a sleep, and he asked if I was okay, but I know I recall not answering him. Anyway, Antoinette said on this other show, she said that when attachments come out, sometimes they say things, sometimes they're not happy, and in my mouth, I could cuss up a storm. But, and that they also smell a little bit, but of course, that's probably, you know, midnight breath. So I think this probably happened to me around, would probably have been around the 2 to 3 o'clock a.m. hour. Anyway, the next day I did feel like a little bit more clean, more cleansed or whatever. And I guess I'll know more about whether or not this is kind of, this removal has more permanency as we go along here. But I just wanted to say to everybody that there's many things that happen in the paranormal world. Sometimes we just don't have answers for everything. Sometimes when things show up on our bodies, we don't have answers for that either. You know, if we could read and look into a magic crystal ball and find out every answer to our life, I guess our lives would be a little bit boring because we would be able to get the answer, right? So some of us like to go in search of, and I'm still going in search of. But remember when I said on my one of my shows with the haunted handprint, what's next? I still contend to that very thought. What could be next? Thank you for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I hope to continue to bring you interesting shows, interesting guests as we move through the rest of this year. Thank you and good night.